Shoes. Recorded live.
Hi, folks. 8:37 in the evening, Thursday, October 30th, 2008, for historical reference. I'm Marcus Allen. I'm the guy who started truthin7minutes.com. That's the number 7, truthin7minutes.com. And what we do is when the chat gets heated or people want to move from the interactive chat on the website at truthin7minutes.com from that site, and they want to move it into a phone chat, I say, great, let's do it. So we're doing it, and that's where we're at right now. A lot of things have happened over the last couple of days, to say the least. Yesterday, for example, I was, in quotes, an alternative guest on Jim Fetzer's show on GCN Network, because when I called in, Ace Baker was on, and I wanted to bust him and show how he's controlled opposition. When I called in, he disappeared for a while. And so I was talking to Jim Fetzer for a bit, and then Ace Baker came back, and we talked about all kinds of stuff. That audio is on the website right now. If you look on the right-hand side in the audio section, and I'll post it in the interactive chat. Audios. There we go. And if you look on the right-hand side, you can see it. It will be permanently on the audio section when I get a chance. It's been a very, very busy day. And I'm just reading the chat as I'm talking here. I also have LT, known as Lord Tsukasa, on. Why don't you say hi, LT?
Hey, guys.
And I also have Chad, who goes by the name of News and History, on. Hello, say hello, Chad.
Hello.
And I'm expecting Alex, known as Spark of Life. He told me he'd be on here at 8:40 on the dot. And I'm literally going to wait 12 seconds, because that's when it's on the dot, and see if he's going to come through. Two, one, 8:40. Not there. Oh, well. Anyhow, do you have any new stuff going on, Chad? Did you listen to the audio of Jim Fetzer and Ace Baker and myself? Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I did. I'm just glad people like Fetzer are giving you so much time on their show. I'm guessing he's just not getting a lot of callers, but he let you do pretty much most of the interview after you called. He just kind of let you talk to Ace, but I did notice that he was very respectful to Ace Baker. He didn't want to make it seem like he was agreeing with you all the time when you accusing Ace Baker of basically spreading disinfo. But yeah, he let you talk, and I thought that was great. And you asked Ace Baker. Great questions, and I think you got him in the corner, and he was really stumped at the end of the interview. If you listen to the end of the interview, people, you find out that Marcus asks him one question that Ace Baker just doesn't want to answer. He just laughs at when Marcus asks him if he's part of the OTO. And,
right, if he was an OTO Mason. For those who don't know what that is, that's Ordo Templis Orientis, I believe. It's a branch of Masonry for, and LT, fill me in, because you're the guy when it comes to this stuff, for entertainment. Most high-level entertainers are either OTO Masons or are encouraged to become OTO Masons. And if you do any amount of digging, especially if you look at LT's investigations, you'll see that this guy has more connections than nerve endings in your body. It's just amazing how high up there this guy is, and he claims that he's not a Mason, and that he's not, he laughed when I asked him if he was an OTO Mason, which was quite telling. Anything to add to that, LT?
Yes, that was my favorite part of the entire interview. It was when he just went, are you an OTO Mason? And instead of confirming or denying, he just started laughing. That's what these fakes do. When they're asked a question, they just don't answer it. They give you some kind of answer that doesn't tell you anything at all, so that way you're left in the complete dark. You don't have an official denial, and you don't have an official confirmation.
Chad, are you able to hear LT? I'm
yes.
Kind of sharing the line with him.
Oh yeah, I can hear him just enough to know what he's saying. Mm-hmm.
So it's not as loud as it could be, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not very loud. I don't even see him on the chat interface
Right. Let me okay. tell people what I'm doing, and also let me welcome Alex, known as Spark of Life. Are you there, Alex?
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? What I do is I use GrandCentral.com. I'll put that into the chat. It's phenomenal. It's from Google, which is not good because Google, of course, is CIA. Anyone who has heard me, you know, I've said that many times. But you might as well use Google CIA if you can get free long distance, and that's what it is. So it's called GrandCentral.com.
Mm-hmm.
Works in Canada and the United States. In fact, LT is calling me from Canada right now. And what he does is I put a little banner on my website, and I have a private little URL that he goes to. And he puts in his phone number. It rings my phone. It rings his phone, then it rings my phone. So as soon as he connects, then my phone rings, and it says, you know, I almost said your name. LT is on the line, and would you like to accept the call? And I press 1 to accept the call, and then it's a free call.
Wow.
That's how it works. I thought it rung us both at the same time.
Nope. If you use that banner, then it doesn't. Now, you can go directly into Grand Central and say, call LT, and then my phone rings, and then as soon as I pick up, boom, then his phone rings. I didn't know you can do that. The only problem with going direct, by the way, is I don't think you can use the record feature. And that's what I think when Alex and I were speaking a couple of days ago. Remember how I couldn't do the record feature, Alex?
Yeah.
It's because I called you directly instead of kind of reverse engineering this Grand Central. So we'll figure it out. The bottom line is it's phenomenal. I encourage everyone to do it if you're going to call up these fakes. And I'm actually going to do an audio on how I do it and show you how to do it. So wouldn't it be great if all of us called up Ace Baker and just plowed right into the guy, showed him that there are a lot of people who know that he's a fake guy, and record it. And if you know, can you imagine having 10 people record recordings to Ace Baker showing that he's a fraud?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what you do. You use Grand Central, and you hit, as soon as there's a connection, you hit number 4. It does say this call is being recorded, but who cares? And it records it, and as soon as the recording's done, I mean, it's very fast. As soon as the recording's done, you log into Grand Central, and you click the download button, and it goes right to your hard drive. It's phenomenal.
Very good. Very
anyway,
cool tool.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, so we were talking about the Fetzer Ace Baker call. Was there any particular part of the call, I'm curious, that you thought was just unbelievable? I cannot believe he said that.
when he said he didn't work for the screen, or he wasn't part of the Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, does everyone kind of agree that that's a flat-out lie?
Yeah, I do.
100%. It's on his website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, he's making up a bunch of bullshit. He was trying not to say yes. He was trying everything, besides to say yes to that question about him being part of the Screen Guild.
That was interesting. He goes, I'm not a member of Screen Actors Guild, but I did receive a payment, and I kind of had to sign something.
Uh-huh. And then he mentioned he was on a show. He was on a show. In
Melrose
he,
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, he's like giving us all these hints that he really was part of the Screen Actors Guild, but he said, he didn't want us to know that. He didn't want to say it straight out that he was Screen Actors Guild member.
And by the way, I have to thank, as always, LT and, in this case, Alex, because I asked for their help to come up with a list of smoking gun evidence that, you know, sort of questions that I can ask, some talking points. If you remember, I asked him about that music score that he wrote, and he was totally stunned. He's like, wow, that was a long time ago, about the New Age, you know, song, I think it was. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the... And yeah, the New Age that was telling us, you said, because the New Age movement—that's a complete operation—and Ace was part of that. And after you asked him if he was in the Screen Actors Guild, and he tried his best to dodge that question, then he realized that, well, you've been doing your research, so he can't pretty much dodge these part of these accusations anymore. So then he just kind of gave you stuff like, oh, I was in that a long time ago, and. But still, it connects them to the New Age scene, which is another dark connection to this guy.
In fact, here it is. What I said was, it's called the Heart of the Rainforest, Music of New Age, Chill Out, and Ethno. And unbelievable. And I actually didn't get to the final point, which was the reason. If you remember, I asked him if he had a CompuServe address. Does anyone know the real reason I asked that?
Yes, because you sent me an email about how there is a list of Masons, a Masonic guest book, and there's someone named Alexander Baker, and Alexander is his real name, Ace is a nickname. There was someone named Alexander Baker on that guest book with CompuServe email address.
That's right. Now, the problem was he denied it. So the question is, do you think he knew where I was going with that and denied it, or he just really doesn't have a CompuServe address?
I thought his actual name was Colin for a while, because he has a YouTube account where it's like Colin Alexander.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Right. That's right. So that's why I didn't want if he would have said, yeah, I have a CompuServe address. I tried to throw him off. It was the first question I asked him. I said, by the way, someone's trying to reach you, and it's from more than 10 years ago. The reason I said that is because this guest book entry was from Friday, April 28th, 1995, which would have been over 13 years ago. And believe me, I would have stuck on him like a pit bull if he would have said he had a CompuServe address. I was going to then say, without giving your email address, did it have like a bunch of numbers in front of it? Because it was 100070.3525. And I think at the time, all CompuServe addresses were that. And if he would have confirmed that, I would have been, oh, man, I would have been all over that. But since he didn't confirm that, I just skipped that.
Right.
I'm always looking to improve. I do get kind of irritated when I hear that people think that I'm arrogant and stubborn on facts. To give you an example, Alan, there's a guy who comes to the site who I like a lot. His name is Alan. And he has corrected me more than one time. The first time I forgot, the second time I haven't, which was I found out from Jackie Petru that Alan Watt was married at one time. In fact, she asked him how his wife was, and from what I understand, he kind of confirmed that she was doing well. And Alan kind of gets on me a bit because one of the reasons, I have a whole list of reasons why I think Alan Watt is controlled opposition. One of them is that he's married, and he has correctly told me that I should probably not go there because maybe he's divorced. So I will not bring that up anymore because that's a definite possibility. So was there anything said on the call that you thought I could have improved? Honestly, I'm a man. I can take it. What do you think I could have done to make it better?
One thing that I thought that you should have said, just one simple thing. You said if you took a picture of a plane with the telephotic lens, I think that if you would have said with like maybe a building in the foreground, like if you, do you know what I mean? Because then there would be two different objects, because he's claiming that if you took a picture of a plane in the air, say with a small piece of a building just in the foreground, that the plane would look almost as big as the building, which
Right. Again,
like you said, a plane is 6 miles in the air, and the bridge is 7.7 miles away from the towers. So what he's saying is just ridiculous.
Right. So in simple speak, and I thought I explained this in the audio, he's saying that when we're looking at the television screen, we see sort of to the right center are the two buildings, the South Tower and the North Tower, and then to the left there's this bridge that is 7.7 miles away. In fact, I went to go find out how tall the bridge was last night. The bridge is about 60% of the height of the Twin Towers. It's 680-something feet. So what he's saying is that a telephoto lens is able to zoom 200 times in, but magically in this shot, the buildings are basically zoomed in just a little bit, maybe two times or three times or five times, so that this telephoto lens is smart enough to be able to zoom in on the left side of the picture 200 times and on the right side only 2, 3, 5 times. I mean, I'm scratching my head. Does anyone see how ridiculous that argument is, or is it just me?
Yeah,
well,
that's totally ridiculous. I mean, so it zooms in 200 times so you can see a bridge that's 7.7 miles away, yet you're still seeing the towers normally. I mean, you'd expect that if it was super zoomed in like that you'd just be seeing a bunch of gray pixels when you got to the towers because it would be so close up.
That's right. Does everyone see that?
Not to mention that the bridge is actually 7.7 miles southeast of the towers, not directly behind it. So some people on the forum have said that when I compare two different pictures, that the picture that I show that doesn't have the bridge is because it's a different angle. But even if it was, in the picture, it wouldn't make sense because it's not going to show up if it's southeast of the building, directly behind the towers.
Right. And, you know, my wife said to me, she goes, you know, what are you, because first of all, she goes, what the hell are you doing? And I said, oh, you mean with all the phone calls? She's like, yeah, what are you trying to prove? How would you simply, what, I can't even believe I'm trying to explain this. Does anyone know where I'm going with this? Why is this important to know who the fakes are? How would I explain that to her?
Easy one, because in the movement, the perpetrators put an entire team of many, many people who are infiltrating the movement with the purposes of deceiving people. And they use all kinds of tactics. And by exposing the fakes, you not only help yourself in the sense that you're smart to these fakes and you're not going to be easily deceived, but you also help others, because real people who see you busting these fakes will know, well, I guess that's not someone I can trust, and they won't be deceived by the fake you busted. So
now that I perfectly said. Now here's the problem. I spoke to Alex either yesterday or a couple of days ago, and he told me that he was – tell me what you said. You were actually, like, mad at me because you were kind of mind-effed by, you know, Shore and who was the other one?
KT.
That's right, Killtown, right. And that's what blows my mind is I always try to stay level-headed. I just throw the facts up there. I come up with analogies, which I think are pretty good. You know, airplane is 6.5 miles in the air. You can't see it. How can you see a bridge 7.7 miles? Yet even with all that facts, you were still angry at me because you were under the influence, for lack of a better word or phrase, under KT Killtown and Jeff. That's what concerns me about this, that I'm doing all this busting and that no one is hearing it. Am I wrong on that, or do we need to do a different strategy? I'm looking for ways to improve what we're doing. To me, it just blows my mind that people don't see through this. There's only three people who can see this.
Well, look, personally, I – go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just confirming that I heard what he's had to say about that. Go ahead, sorry.
I just personally it wasn't really what I was mind-effed about. It wasn't about the layering. I personally at first, because it was such a sensitive topic about the jumpers, that I was just like, well, this just seems silly that, like, it can't be all fake. That, and then, you know, that mind pattern kind of gets into your head and you just start, like, I personally just thought that, like Genghis said, that you got into, like, La La Land, Marcus, but then you just, I just talked to you and you showed me and I realized that, yeah, it is all fake.
Mm-hmm. So it was just me talking to you that kind of broke you out of the spell?
Yeah, definitely. And I personally think that what they did with this layering, because what Jeff says in the call with Genghis is that he says they're not that stupid. And what he's doing there is he's making you think that, yeah, they are that stupid. And I thought that for a bit too. But now what I'm realizing with this Ace Baker is that I think that they did the layering to make it look like they could use that argument of the fancy lens so that down the road they can bring out these shills to use this professional wrestling argument and to divide people even more, because it seems almost perfect that it's not too obvious, but it's also it's clearly fake. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Mm-hmm. LT, any thoughts?
Yeah, I can name the shills that Alex is talking about. I can name them right now. Elephant slash room.
Right.
D duck.
Yep.
Ace baker, of course.
Yep.
And who else? Beat. Who is the beat prophet? For those who don't know, someone on Genghis forum. And that's all I can remember off the top of my head.
Well, I can give you one. If you go to pumpitout.com and go to the forum, there is a guy who started doing kind of Jeff-like phone calls. Who sounds like Joe Lieberman from, you know, the senator from Connecticut, actually.
ASK7?
Yeah, exactly. And he's slamming me big time about this this call that I made to Ace. Big time. I mean, he's got multiple posts. Marcus is a liar, this and that, which is kind of funny. And I begged him to bust me, call me. And a lot of people don't know this. I begged Jeffrey Hill, who goes by the name of Short, to bust me for 7 months. Gave him my phone number, everything. And he never called me, never once.
He did leave some funny messages on your answering machine, though.
That was like a week ago, yeah. But I'm talking 7 months he wouldn't call me. So why is it that all these people who are calling, you know, the criminals, call me. I've begged them to call me, and they won't do it. This John guy will not call me. Instead, he posts, idiot Mark Allen, twoof in 7 minutes. I should reply to him and say, you spelled truth in 7 minutes wrong, it's this, and, you know, put a link to the site. That'd be pretty funny. And then, you know, liar Mark Allen, there's a big thread about that with 12 replies there. And even Alex is getting slammed about his Toronto Maple Leafs Jesuit connections. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. But they're saying that is see, these people, they don't even – they just say, oh, you're a crazy person. But it's just like, if you look, like, these people were Jesuits. Like, it's not – there's no debate.
Right. So, anyway, again, I encourage people to go to the audio section of truthin7minutes.com and click on this. It's probably it was my best call. I'm gonna say that it's the second best call, and over the weekend I'm going to post my best call ever, which was to Tex Mars. I know LT heard that one. Did you guys hear that one?
Yeah. I'm going to say that was your best one for sure.
Yeah. Did you hear that one, Chad?
Yes, I did.
Speaking of wrestling, I do a show every Thursday at high noon called Stump Marcus, which is a business show. And I take the last part of the show to talk about the stuff we're talking about right now. And I find that it's very interesting. I see a lot of people who leave the show, the business people, don't want to hear this. And then I have a very low, you know, I probably have about 10 very loyal listeners who stay until the end. And I talked about, and I'm not done this article yet, politics. I talked about the election. I think you might find this to be interesting. I know that Alex is going to know where I'm going with this because he helped me with this. But check this out. In fact, let me explain the story. I was telling Alex that I heard Alan Watt say that political ads and articles make heavy use of wrestling and boxing terms. And I also noticed that, too. I'm like, you know, they're always talking about jabs and attacks, and they're up against the rope and all that kind of stuff. So I ran that by Alex, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's the Russo brothers. In fact, let me leave this story there, and kind of maybe you can fill in what you said about that.
Well, another thing if you remember in the 90s, there was, there was always WWF, but there was WCW. And you know who owned WCW? Ted Turner, the owner of CNN. And if that isn't just complete proof that propaganda is the most rampant business in the world, then I don't know what is. But yeah, one of the writers for WCW, his name is Vince Russo, who was grew up in Long Island. And I'm not sure if he's related to the late Aaron Russo, but he also grew up in Long Island as well. So, and also
it would be quite a coincidence, right, because they're both from Long Island. Also, Aaron Russo has some very nefarious sources, as if you remember his Freedom to Fascism.
Yeah.
He talked about, you know, getting rid of the IRS and all that sort of thing, which was the Ron Paul platform, I bet, was
yeah.
to get rid of the IRS. And also, Aaron Russo was heavily involved in culture creation. He admitted, although most people didn't pick up on this, that he invented bikini underwear. That's total culture creation. He also was the manager of many, many entertainers, Bette Midler being the most popular one.
Yeah.
And also, if you watched Trading Places, his movie, there was a ton of predictive programming in it, you know, showing the clock at 9/11 a million times. And when the rich guys get out of the car, they look up, and it's, of course, the World Trade Center. It just never ends with Aaron Russo, and everyone thinks that this guy is such a great guy.
And he was like a large endorser of the Democrats in the late 90s as well. Like, and then what? Like, he just changed one. But also,
right, well, he ran as an independent in Las Vegas 1 year, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he ran to be governor of Nevada.
Right.
I'd almost bet my life on that.
Yeah. I also think that this, it's speculation, but if you just look at the two, Vince Russo, the writer from WWF, and Aaron Russo, they look a lot alike. Like they could easily be related.
Oh yeah, go look them up on Wikipedia. Find out if mentions his siblings.
No, that's the thing. Oh. I've looked in every obituary, and it says what like Aaron's family was, but it doesn't mention that he had any brothers or sisters. So either he didn't, or it just doesn't mention them.
Okay.
You know, if you look up the SSDI, it'll tell you where that he was born.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was born in Long Island. Might be wrong though. Yeah, but after he ran for governor in Nevada, he became friends with Nick Rockefeller.
That's right. I was going to mention that too. And when, you know, that's another X connection. Once you're X, you're not really X. It's like saying, you know, I'm an ex CIA agent.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead. We keep interrupting you.
Who,
yeah,
me?
You want to mention more about
I'm sorry, Alex. We were interrupting you with the connection with Russo and Worldwide Wrestling and writing headlines that have wrestling terms in it.
Well, I just thought that, yeah, a guy, an employee for Ted Turner was Vince Russo. And another thing that the WCW had was they had a faction that was called the NWO.
Right. New World Order, right?
Right.
I remember that.
So, I mean, like,
Hulk Hogan.
And it's just the biggest distraction in all sports. Like, it's the most mindless entertainment there is. And it's a joke that Ted Turner had his hand in that while also owning CNN.
Right, so let me take it from there. So, you know, my parents are like, so who do you think is going to win? Actually, my mom would say that because my dad knew that I always thought Ron Paul would win just because there are so many connecting the dots type of things, which I've gone over before 100 times. Maybe one time in the future I'll go over it again. But I really thought Ron Paul would win. And so my mom was asking me about it. And I'm like, I said, Mom, let me ask you a question. Would you ever ask me if I thought The Undertaker would win or Hulk Hogan would win? She goes, of course not. That's ridiculous. I said, but don't you see it's the same thing? In fact, the same person who probably wrote those scripts is the same person who's writing the headlines in the newspapers about politics. So what I did is I used Google News and typed in Obama McCain and looked for patterns that had to do with wrestling and boxing. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go. They're in categories. Here we go. Against the ropes. Biden-McCain campaign is on the ropes. Next sec. I'm going to have a bunch. I ran out of time. I mean, I literally could have dozens and dozens of different headlines per, you know, little term like that. Next one, battle. Candidates hit Florida as battle for state intensifies. Battleground Ohio. Candidates battle for voters. Obama-McCain wage last battles in red states. Obama wages uphill battle to wrest West Virginia from McCain. The early word, battleground Thursday. Next word, duel. McCain and Obama's duel for the White House. McCain takes the gloves off in a Nashville duel. Next word, fight. In final debate, McCain takes off the fight to Obama. McCain struggles to leave the GOP incumbent to fight a Democratic tide. And here's the one that had the most by far. I mean, it was stunning how many. Jabs. Obama, McCain adds, take jabs at Bush. Jabs, but no knockout in Nashville. McCain, Obama take jabs but no KO in final debate. I mean, I'm talking dozens and dozens and dozens. I'm scrolling down right now. Then there's knockout, punch, rope, spar, stalemate. I'm scrolling. Swinging, train. You know, VP candidates train hard, you know, training for boxing and wrestling. I even have miscellaneous ones like McCain, Obama, and John McCain soften their blows. John McCain throws down the gauntlet. This is wrestling and boxing terminology.
True.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it's kind of psyop because politics really is like professional wrestling. It's just theater.
It's just what?
It's just theater.
It's theater, right. I'm going to post into the chat inside baseball type of jargon that professional wrestling writers use. It's fascinating. It's from Wikipedia. I'm also going to post a great video that you should watch. It's about talking points. How they always have the same talking points. Like John Stewart, if you ever watched the what's his show called? I forget. The Daily Show.
Yeah, yeah.
If you watch The Daily Show, every day he'll do a three-minute segment how the talking points are exactly the same. Then they show him, and he has that little coy look on his face. The audience laughs how ridiculous it is that they're always the same talking points. Yet they're laughing, but they don't realize they're going to keep voting. They're voting for this kind of nonsense.
Yep.
So I just posted that YouTube, which is pretty funny. And also, you should definitely rent the movie Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
Anyone see that?
Yeah, that's a classic.
I checked it out after you told me about the predictive programming with the Monica Lewinsky. Yeah, a month before, I checked on Wikipedia exactly a month before the Lewinsky scandal, the Wag the Dog movie predicted it. And not only that, but there was also a lot of people saying, wow, the shot of the characters in Wag the Dog, it was really similar to the actual shot of Bill Clinton and Lewinsky. So that really just shows you how everything's scripted and just to see it predicted in that predictive programming movie just a month exactly before. Amazing.
But there's something that takes the total cake for me right now, and I'm going to post the link. And if anyone knows how to do a Who Is, you can confirm this. If you go to McCainPalin.com, you've changed the website, but that's fine. Someone do a Who Is, and the first person who tells me what date the website was created wins a prize. Let me post it onto the chat here. The prize is nothing. It's just nothing. You just win. McCainPalin.com.
I can guess.
Tell me what the created date is on McCainPalin.com.
Was it 6 months ago?
Seven. Exactly 7 months to the day before she was announced as the vice presidential candidate. Now, I can understand why someone might put McCain Paul or McCain Giuliani or something that everyone, you know, kind of figured was a guess on who it would be for a VP. But McCain Palin? Does anyone not understand the ridiculousness of that? She was totally unknown.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot. Most people didn't even know about her, and except the people in Alaska and a few others. She really hadn't gotten any well known achievements or any kind of thing that got her into the public eye. That mainly a lot of people I know just learned that she existed when she was chosen for Duranda's VP. So that is amazing, and it really shows the pre-planned nature of all of this.
That's right. Alex, was it you who found out the Who Is date, or were you just guessing? Or
no, I was just I believe you told me last time we talked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you
well,
cheated.
Well, I would be curious. I'm not in front of my unfortunately, my Safari crashes when I do a Who Is lookup, and Firefox is being used by TalkShoe right now. Can someone do a lookup on that, the Who Is? Actually, there's a little shortcut. If you go to Google and you type in Who Is space McCainPalin.com, it'll give you a direct link to it. But I'm curious. What I'm curious to know is, it was an anonymous proxy, you know, ownership, so you couldn't tell who it is. I'm curious if they've changed it.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. I'm going to whois.com.
Okay. Oh, you can do that too. Yeah.
Yep, whois.com. You can find it. Okay, I'm reading now. It says registrant contact McCainPallon.com private registrant.
Right, so it's still private.
Yeah. DreamHost web hosting. Wow, I didn't know they were using that web hosting company. I'm familiar with that. I thought they were a small company. Anyway, their DreamHost web hosting is in Brea, California. It has the address, billing contact, record created on the first month of January 29th of 1998 was when that site was created, according to whois.com.
January 1998?
Yeah. Oh, no, not 1998. Sorry. January 29th, 2008. Yeah, so it was...
Right, and if I remember right, she was announced on the 29th of September or October, one of the... Oh, no, it had to be September.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly six or seven months after, right?
Yep. Yep.
What a coincidence.
and the mainstream media has been telling, you know, the mockingbirds, you know, the talking heads, they've been telling us that it was just a spur-of-the-moment decision, or at least that's what
right.
McCain and his camp want us to know, or want us
right.
to think. But
now, of course, I've posted this all over the place, and you have these shills and the excuse maker saying, well, someone just took a bet on that. It's probably just a private person and just guessed that. Well, you know, this is my business. I'm in the internet marketing business. Do you know how much it costs to set up a website?
Yeah.
It ain't cheap.
Or how
it's
many?
It's cheap if you know how to do it cheap, but most people pay $100 a month for web hosting.
Mm-hmm.
How many Republican senators or governors are there for each state? Like what? Like
right.
What are the odds of that?
Right, but that's ridiculous because you can just type in McCain. Who's the governor of? I don't know. Name any governor in the chat from your state, and you put that in, and I'll bet you there is no record found. I bet you it's available to rent.
Yeah, and it probably has never been even searched before. There was never a McCain Paul site. It was always, they always knew that they were going to put Palin in.
Right.
Just like how Alex Jones used to say, we already know that Hillary Clinton is the anointed one and she's going to become the president. And it's just like, oh, clearly he was wrong. And then all his people start chanting that. And then, yeah.
And Alan Watt did the same thing when someone asked him who he thought would be president. He thought it would be Hillary Clinton. Now, by the way, there's still time for that to happen. There's still time for Ron Paul to be on the other side. And as I've said in my chats before, wouldn't it be a heck of a ticket to be Ron Paul / Palin versus Hillary Clinton, whoever the other person is? That would juice up people, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
Yep. So I really thought, I mean, I almost bet on it that Ron Paul was going to get back into the race, but I think it's too late. You know, they would have done something this week or something, and I'm not seeing it.
Anything could still happen, though. And even after the election, there's still a two-month period where Bush is still in power, so anything could happen.
That's very true, yep. Kind of onward, I want to move on to something that Chad confirmed that Alan Watt said, and I went down with my camera with my son every Thursday. I go out on a date with my son, my 7-year-old, and I cannot believe this. I'm going to show it to you. I'll just let you see the picture. So I'm going to post this into the chat.
Okay.
Here we go. Take a look at this picture and tell me what you guys see.
Humongous towers. Humongous. Microwave towers. I don't know the proper name or the proper name.
Well, I don't understand. I'm at a baseball stadium. That looks like a flagpole, as I say, dripping with sarcasm.
Yeah.
Isn't it a flagpole?
No way. It has a fence around the base of it.
Yep.
In fact, it looks like it's kind of high on the ground too, where it's set.
Now, this is in the outfield of our Lancaster Barnstormers Stadium. I was just there, 3 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let me post another picture for you.
The pitcher.
Okay, here we go. Take a look at this. What do you see?
Oh, another. This one's cone-shaped. This is a cone-shaped tower with a flagpole. No, it's just the perspective. Sorry, it kind of looks like a cone.
That's right. It's the same. It's the same flagpole with the warning fence around it. Okay, I got two more pictures for you.
Yeah.
Everyone else seeing this, by the way?
Yeah.
Doesn't even look like your average everyday flagpole. It looks really awkward. A flag should not be on the top of that. It looks horrible.
Let's take a look at this one.
It looks like something you'd see in an airport.
Yeah. Yeah.
They look good.
Yeah, the things.
I'm looking at my son who's getting dressed up for Halloween right now. Looks good.
Are these wires near the poles?
How about wires that are going into that flagpole? All right, now here we go. Ready? Watch this. This is the last picture. This will make you laugh or cry, depending what they're doing to us. Watch this. Take a look at this. Why is the FCC piping huge cables into a fake flagpole?
I think they're trying to get control people's minds in a way. Those sort of towers have been used before in places like Vietnam.
Now, Alan Watt tells us that these are mind control towers that are being placed all over the world. By the way, if you go to the website at the bottom of that warning sign, it's Richard Tell Associates Incorporated, Electromagnetic Consulting and RF Safety Products.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a website
LT.
There.
LT, sick 'em. Find out what this is all about.
Go get 'em.
I'm not on a computer right now, but I can't really.
Oh, well, let me explain what it is. It's if you look at a flagpole at a baseball game, it's a pole that's maybe in diameter 6 inches, 8 inches wide.
Right.
And it goes straight up in the air, and, it looks like a flagpole. This thing is it looks like a cell phone tower, but much bigger, much wider around. And they have they've dressed it up to make it look like a flagpole. Where they can hoist the flag up every day when they change it. But what happened, the fourth picture I showed were literally the biggest cables I've ever seen in my life, much bigger than electrical cables, being fed into this pole that's going, probably up maybe 200, 300 feet, maybe even higher. But unlike a cell phone tower, there's no prongs coming off of it to beam, signals. It's just going up a flagpole.
Right.
I think and what's interesting is Alan Watt. You said that he thought that these were had to do with mind manipulation, and,
right?
And John Quinn, he's a guy who popped onto the scene in '99 and then just disappeared after giving people a bunch of amazing information about Columbine, and then he just disappeared from the scene without notice, And he wrote an article once where he said that if you know about Golden, Colorado, there's a lot of towers there that they say are for television reception. And he was saying that they had to do with mind manipulation type things. Yeah.
Mm. So what do you guys, what do you think, Alex and Chad? I know, Chad, you've known about this before. What do you think, Alex?
Personally, I think that we'll probably keep seeing more and more of these because if you remember, at the end of February, cable TV will no longer exist. And all
right,
of
what do you think that's all about? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what they're doing is instead of using cable TV, every single house is now going to be receiving some kind of a signal. It's no longer going to be wired. There will be transmitters on people's houses and stuff like that, or at least to the boxes in their houses. You know what I mean? Like, I know that in Canada, like Rogers, you won't be able to plug your TV and get basic cable. That won't exist anymore. You will need a antenna box to get any kind of signal. So, yeah, I think that more and more of these are going to start coming around. And I also think that things like satellites are soon to become obsolete, and it will just become things like these.
So that's interesting, because here in the States, the commercials say, if you have one of these and it shows an old-fashioned TV, then you're going to need one of these, which is the new, you know, converter box. But then it says, if you've got cable, then you have nothing to worry about. Do nothing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just understand that digital cable is pretty much all that there will be, which it is still cable, but it's not really it. The wires.
It's cable quality, you're saying.
Right. It would be like your phone and your TV, your cable are the same unit. You know what I mean? Like you're sharing
right.
the same unit.
Right. That's interesting. Well, I just thought it's interesting how you know, we hear stories all the time how they put. In fact, I just saw something on the chat where they'll go to the effort to make a cell phone tower look like a tree. Oh, that, I mean, they have articles all the time about that. They're like, and they put it in your face. They're like, look how the cell phone tower looks like it's blending in with Mother Earth. But then, I mean, this is not a cell phone tower. This is a pole that looks like an obelisk, actually, that goes straight up into the air and has tons of wires going into it. It's heavily shielded off. I mean, as you saw, had the fence and it had bricks. So it looked like a permanent structure that you really couldn't get into, but I went around it and I peered through the gate and you just see these heavy, thick wires going through it and it's going up to nowhere. There's nothing coming out of it like a cell phone tower where you see obvious transmitters coming out. So this is just amazing. It's just amazing.
I think to note is that the radio transmitters are pretty much, they're lethal. Like they're known to cause cancer and stuff, but what is coming what's coming out more and more is non-lethal weapons and
right.
Things like mind control is a perfect example. That's not lethal, but it would pretty much cause more damage to someone.
That's right. Chad, are you still there? It looks like for some reason you got muted. I didn't mute Chad.
Thank you for getting me back on. I actually I had to take another call for some reason. I can talk about this later. I don't want to waste any time, but I got a strange call, so I answered it.
Is it a strange call that we should know about, or?
Oh, it's definitely strange. I'll share with you the details. My great aunts, what got a call from my mother, or my mother's name showed up on our call ID just recently.
Uh-huh.
But my mom isn't home, and she didn't call. So, I mean, she can't call, you know, and I'm using the only phone in my house. So I thought that was strange that she got a call with and it had my mom's name showing up on her caller ID, and she isn't even home. She hasn't been home for, I'd say, more than an hour. So I thought that was strange. I never heard of anything like that happening. I told my aunt, I'll definitely tell my mom that is that she got a strange phone call, and it definitely wasn't her. I thought that was strange, but it was just a minor disruption.
That reminds me of C.C. Lyles. Remember that phone call?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the phone call where there were so many anomalies with that. I mean, for example, she says there were 3 hijackers, and the official version says there were 4 on Flight 93, and she also is an ex-police officer. She was a police officer for 6 years, yet she's giving no details about what's going on. She's making an apparent mistake about the details, and also being an ex-police officer, you think that she would call ground control instead of leaving a message on her answering machine. And of course there's also the issue of what's at the end of the call, when you can hear right after right after the call ends, you can hear somebody whisper, "You did great."
Right.
And that all of that indicates to me that C.C. Lyles was probably part of some kind of drill where she was told to leave a message on the answering machine. That's what that tells me. And they gave her the little script with basically the official story, but since it was just playing out that day, there were some mistakes, which was why she said there was three hijackers, the same reason why Betty Ong said she was on Flight 12, since it was a all a sketchy script with their staged phone call drills. Some details were mixed up. That's what I think.
The reason I said it sounded like that is because, you know, we're told that, you know, we're told through Flight 93 movie. By the way, this C.C. Lyles was one of the attendants on the Flight 93 that supposedly crashed. Thank you. Just got some super glue. So we were told that they all used the seat back phones on the airplanes. That's why they were so crisp and clear and uninterrupted. What's amazing to me, let me backtrack. Her husband admitted on tape that it was her cell phone because on the caller ID was her cell phone number. Now, what's interesting about that and what Chad just said just happened 5 seconds ago
mm-hmm.
is I wonder if the military has a device to fake what the call ID shows up on your display to make it seem like it's a cell phone or not.
Yep, they can do that. My mom doesn't have a cell phone anymore because she doesn't like the EMF radiation that people are generally exposed to when they use cell phones. But anyway, yeah, she would have to use our landline phone here at home to reach anyone. Yeah, you know, I'm fairly certain that the NSA, you know, all the ABC intelligence agencies can rig people's caller ID or, you know, put false information in it. Yep, it's very very useful tool for them to do that.
Anyhow, those are pretty much all the topics that I had in mind. I know that you guys wanted to have a talk. I know that Alan was excited about having a talk, and I think he's on the line or on the interactive chat, but hasn't called in. So if you can hear me, Alan, if you want to call in and ask a few questions or give us some tips or concerns or whatever, that'd be great. Until that happens, did you guys want to talk about anything else?
Go ahead.
Just what you were saying, Chad, about what just happened.
Yeah.
I keep noticing, and I at first just thought maybe I was paranoid, but this has honestly been happening to me for a few months now, and there's a number of different things that I've noticed. First of all, I use Facebook from time to time because I do marketing for this club that I work at.
Okay.
And I also use MSN just to talk to my friends and stuff, old friends from back home. And sometimes I will leave my house, or not even leave my house, just leave my computer, and I'll come back to sign back on, and not only will my Facebook password be changed, but my MSN password will be changed at the exact same time. And this has been happening to me since July.
Oh, strange. Very strange. I know, you know, MSN, you know, Microsoft, they really can't be trusted in the first place. And Facebook has a long, long list of CIA agents that have invested into that internet major internet.
Yeah, definitely.
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's strange what's happening there. Mm-hmm. That happens often?
It happens probably at least once or twice a month, like it happened to me 2 days ago. It's very, it almost seems like sometimes I'll put my laptop in my backpack and walk to someone's place, and it almost seems that when I reopen, it's like my computer will pick up a different signal, and then that is when it happens. But it's, I've never heard of that happening to anyone else.
Yeah, that is strange. Wow.
Another thing.
By the way,
that,
there's before you go on, there's a person in the chat that wants to call in using Skype. Are you using Skype right now, Alex?
No, I'm.
You're just calling in with a regular phone, right?
Yeah.
The problem with Skype is it's very unreliable, and the calls are really, really choppy. So if you can call in using a regular phone, if you have to use a cell phone, I don't recommend it, not only because it's really bad for you, but because it gets choppy too. I use a I pay basically $1 an hour to talk on this thing, and I do that using onesuite.com. I'll type that into the chat, either for reference now or for our next call. And all you do is you just put in like $10, and the calls to here, if you're in the United States, are like 2.2. It's 1.8 cents a minute. It winds up being less than $1 an hour. It's like less than a cup of coffee. And you
great.
Get a much, much better call-in rate. It's just great. So I'm going to type that in.
Well, thank you.
And I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead, Alex.
Another thing that I've been noticing, and this, again, I've just been floored with amazement of this is just mind-blowing. And, again, I thought I was just paranoid, but I remember sitting with my friends talking about ignorance on YouTube and the on YouTube comments and how ridiculous, like how people always say the Jews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I clicked on YouTube on my computer, and the exact video I was referencing was on the related videos. Now, another thing that happened, I was with my friend, and we were talking about BMW cars. And then I was talking about, actually, there's an augmented reality sample of a BMW, like it's, you open up a magazine and it has an augmented reality 3D model of a BMW, and that's like a, it's an ad. And I was talking about that, and then I opened YouTube, and the exact video I was talking about was on the related videos.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that actually happened to me just last night, I was talking with my girlfriend, and I asked, it's kind of silly, I said, kind of loud too, I said, what do people in Belgium speak? Do they speak French? And then she said, yeah, I guess, you should check. And then I looked, and I went onto Wikipedia, I just searched, I can't remember exactly what I wrote, but when I wrote it, Google went directly to a French website. It went to like google.fr.
I can tell you exactly what that is, by the way.
What is
Google,
it?
Google admits, now this is where Alex Jones is right, I hate to say it. Google admits to using your microphone to better target advertising for you. They admit this right on their website.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm definitely.
I just never noticed that in effect. I know they log the how many people search a certain topic, and then they'll put advertisements on the side. They'll even find out where you live and put.
No, but this they say on the site the reason why we use the microphone is to listen to the ambient background noise from your conversation and from what you're listening to on TV to better target advertising for you. They say this right on their website.
Yeah, do you have an internal microphone? Sorry.
Yeah,
from the internal
microphone,
right. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Another thing that I've noticed, which is almost silly, and I'm really happy that it's like this, I go on Google, and it thinks I live in Montreal, which I don't know why.
That means someone's – if it thinks that, you better go to what's my IP address .com and find out if the thing – find out if that site even detects – your IP address. I mean, Montreal, I mean, that's pretty, I don't know how far it is from you actually, but yeah, that's strange. That's
about 4 hours.
A hacker would
yeah,
be.
It's, mm-hmm. It's very strange.
I can actually look up your IP because you're on my chat. Just so everyone knows, I do have that, every website has the capability of knowing what your IP address is. I do know scaremongers try to scare you thinking, oh my God, they're collecting your IP, so don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Every single website has access to your IP. They have access to your screen size, your operating system that you use,
yep.
All kinds of stuff. And, it could be used in a nefarious way, but you really have to connect a lot of dots to make that happen. But I'm going to go check out his IP right now. And then I use, I'll post a link. You go to samspade.org.
Okay.
And then you put in the IP address, which I'm doing right now. And it shows that Alex is in Alex, are you using Echo for your internet?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm
okay.
Not in my
That's what's showing, and it's showing that it's in Mississippi. Mississauga, Ontario.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It says, well, yeah, that's wrong. I'm in Toronto. Like, Mississauga is only about an hour away, but
yeah, it might be your web hosting or yeah, that your ISP.
Well, no, it's your internet provider, Echo Online Internet. It says.
Oh,
yeah.
That could be right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's what it's basing it on. Basically, it's using that to determine where your location is.
It's funny though. I'll go on Google and it'll say things like on the map, like where would you like to go, and it would have like a marker somewhere where it thinks I am, and it's always in Montreal. And sometimes it'll be in New York.
Sometimes it'll be in New York. Wow, totally way off. Yeah, you better find out.
That could be where your internet is being provided, and provisioned. It can be where it's being provisioned, and at the current time they might be switching provisioning, and that's what they're rerouting it through New York, so that's probably what they're basing it on.
Hmm.
Yeah, Alex, you better not let Scarface hear this audio. He'll be going on Pump It Out, going, oh, I found out Spark of Life lives in Mississauga. He said he lived in Toronto.
he really lives in Montreal, and he's just playing us.
The Florida thing, it was a distraction. He really lives in Montreal.
Does Jeff, you know, Jeff, I forget his last name, does he really make, you know, rumors like that on his site?
I haven't actually seen him make any rumors, but the guy on his site, Scarface.
Scarface and I think Genghis you know, a lot of red flags there. They're really...
Scarface and Genghis are tight.
Yeah, they're so annoying.
I'm pretty sure that Scarface was anonymous that was creating the Killtown Secret Archive. I could be wrong, but it seemed that they had kind of the same information.
I actually know one of the people who has had a key part in that blog is actually... named Joe Cressy, and they say they're in Australia, I believe, and they run some blog where the only purpose is to try to debunk TV fakery and all those who promote it.
You know, it's funny, Genghis. See, this is what Ace Baker's doing and Genghis is doing. Genghis actually recommends Occam Spock's videos.
And he's a debunker.
He's a debunker of TV fakery and even debunks Genghis's video. And when I asked him about that, he gave me the lamest excuse on the planet. LT and I have talked about this. It's almost as if they purposely want to get outed. There's something going on where they purposely want to get outed. And I think Ace is at the top of the list here. I mean, he's purposely making statements that are just beyond the pale.
Without a doubt. Another thing that it puts off a red flag is how Nico, in all of his interviews, promotes Troy. Like I said on the chat earlier today, he says
Troy from West Virginia, right?
Yeah, he says that he likes Troy and he likes his work. He's a funny guy and stuff like that. And it's just like this guy says awful things about people trying to promote the truth. So why is Nico promoting this guy?
Yeah, there's so many indications that all these people, the debunkers, the truthers, that a lot of them are just on the same team. Nico also promotes Mark Roberts a few times. He's promoted Mark Roberts, and Roberts, it's funny. He has a policy. He won't debate quote unquote no planers. I believe what Nico says, the reason he promotes Troy and Mark Roberts is he says that he's doing it because they're attacking Alex Jones and everything, and he's supposed to be this guy who's been who's been persecuted by Alex Jones and attacked by him for all these years, and now he's angry. But they also attack him. They also attack him in the sense that they also say, well, he won't debate no-brainers. So the fact that he's promoting them is really telling. And with Troy, I think that one thing that shows he and Alex Jones are on the same team is that when Troy calls into Alex Jones' show, Alex just gives him the floor. Alex Jones cuts people off as soon as they make
right.
a mistake with him.
Right.
But with Troy called in once using the name Wellington from West Virginia, and he basically just said cuckoo, fruit loop.
Right.
And he said that for quite a.
Oh, it was at least 30 seconds. At least 30 seconds.
Yeah, Troy
yeah,
from West Virginia.
Least. And, mm-hmm. and what the agenda behind that was is because Alex Jones rants like an idiot for a while, and then to try to make people say, wow, this guy's crazy. And then just to give them the big reminder of that, they have Troy call in and go cuckoo to just get mold that impression into everyone's brains.
Just
it
like
was said in a way that it kind of freaked me out too when I heard it over and over again. I was getting really bothered by it. It was almost said in a way that almost mind manipulated me too.
Yeah, and people and they're supposed to. Alex Jones is put into the. Just like Eric Phelps is put as the representative of all those who exposed the Jesuits, Alex Jones is put as the representative of alternative media in general, and that's why they've got to make him look like the crazy guy, so everybody, as soon as they hear anything, like the topics we're discussing, they'll say, oh, I heard that guy Alex Jones, he's one of you kooky conspiracy people, and Troy and Alex Jones are on the same team, because... Yeah, when Troy calls in and is going cuckoo, he doesn't cut him off. He just gives them the floor for that. While when someone calls in about TV fakery or controlled opposition, he'll just cut them off as soon as they start talking.
Sure.
And then he'll cut them off and then rant for 3 minutes about how he's being targeted by counterintelligence, but never when someone's trying to just tell him he's wrong or that he's a fearmonger. That's always just those people are crazy. Those people are in denial or something like that.
And sometimes he actually gets there was a call I heard a while ago that I couldn't help but laugh at, but it was really sad because I knew the effect it was having on people. They had some guy who one of the debunkers, just obviously some kind of shill, some kind of controlled opponent who just called into the show, and he had a fake-sounding Texas accent. I think his agenda was to make himself sound like Mr. Redneck, and he went on going, I think you're a traitor to America, to Alex Jones. And,
oh, yeah.
And his points were so stupid that Alex could have easily just knocked them down one by one, but what did he do instead? He said, your mother doesn't breastfeed you. Your mother didn't breastfeed you, did she? And then he went on a big rant about how people who don't get breast milk are
retarded.
Intelligent. And so instead of knocking down the guy's points, he makes himself sound like a complete idiot by going completely off the track into
mm-hmm.
third territory.
You know, it's funny. That was the day that I turned off Alex Jones. I laughed hysterically at what he said, but then I just realized, like, this is a joke, no more, like, because it was clear that was the biggest setup, that, like, that call became famous, it was like a viral video in just days, like.
It was completely set up, it was totally staged. I mean, the guy, his accent didn't even sound real. That was promoted on Break for News.
Fintan Dunn.
Yeah, Fintan Dunn. He was fooling me for so long because he seemed like he puts out fantastic information on controlled opposition. He has just bust after bust after bust, just all in a in a huge list all these outings, and that's when people realize that the movement is so infiltrated and that it's just completely got all these controlled leader figures. You're going to go to Fenton Dunn and you're going to say, well, this guy is exposing them all. I guess he's a good guy. And then Fenton Dunn will lead you into La La Land by telling you there were planes, et cetera, telling you not to look at the death list, et cetera. And Fenton Dunn, he'll blame it all on James Baker III and George H.W. Bush and instead of going further. So they have basically layers and layers of fakes. So once you get off the news, then you go to Alex Jones. Once you get off Alex Jones, then you go to Fenton Dunn. Once you get off Fenton Dunn, you go to the Web Fairy Nico crowd. So it just goes on and on and on until people finally wake up and realize that they're all fake.
All the well-known ones are fakes, right? You're not fake.
Yeah.
You ain't well-known.
We're not fake here, but all these people who get such promotion are fakes because they just. I've noticed they do this thing where they weave a web of links where they are sending people to site after site, and it's just all leading them around in circles to the same group of sites that are owned by the same few people.
By the way, someone in the chat is asking who is talking. His name is, he goes by short LT, by long Lord Tsukasa, which is a username that he uses in these forums. And maybe one day he'll out his real name, which would be great. And you can get information about who's talking right now. Well, I'm different. I'm the guy who runs truthin7minutes.com, but LT, you can get his information at this website, which I'll post into the chat, which is twitter.com/LordTsukasa. If you can click on that link and make sure I did it right, that'd be great.
All right.
By the way, Mark, you're getting slammed at 9/11 Movement and the topic about the Ace Baker interview. I was responding to some guy who said, did he just say that every musician is a Mason?
Yeah, I saw that. I just read that a minute ago, yeah.
And the others said that Alex was you.
right. Well, if you go to their portal page at 911movement.com, now we're really getting into inside baseball here. If you look at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so they post 10. They're on the left-hand side. It says latest discussions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 70% of the topics are about me or Ace Baker.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And, you know,
so this is, they are in hyperdrive right now. They are certainly, you know.
It's because you busted them.
Right.
Yep.
And that's a lie, by the way, to be specific, the comment about Marcus saying that all musicians are, you know, Freemasons or whatever. He said all famous ones, right, Mark? All the, you know, big ones.
I said all the top level entertainers are either OTO Masons or are highly encouraged to become OTO Masons. Highly encouraged to do so. So I did not say that all of them were. I said they were either or.
The guy who said you did, someone by the name of Dave Mann, has been, he appears to be an Ace Baker devotee. He was also defending Alex Jones, if I remember correctly, when I made a post about him.
This is a very important part. I call it the grid. And if you notice, all of the quote-unquote truthers out there, they must be assigned to tell us that they feel a certain way about a certain topic. For example, Alex Jones, when it comes to 9/11, there were planes. When it comes to vaccines, of course vaccines are bad. When it comes to a New World Order, of course that's bad. And on and on. Then you've got David Ray Griffin. He too thinks that there were it was an inside job, there were planes, but he thinks a New World Order is good. I don't know how he feels about vaccines. Then you got someone like Genghis. He's a no-planer, but There is no layering. You know, so in other words, they have like this grid where everyone has a different way they're going to answer to it. And if you put all of these truthers out on the grid, I don't think there's one truther who agrees with each other. Not one. On those very important topics.
That's what I'm talking about with all these different kind of this layer after layer of different kinds going deeper and deeper and deeper, and they're always going to be telling you some truth, but then, as you say, whirling you away into la la land with this information. Like Simon Shack, I bought into the guy for a while with the September clues. I thought there were missiles, and then I started thinking, it would make no sense for them to fly a missile into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, in broad daylight. That wouldn't be operationally smart to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then I figured out about the flyover at the Pentagon, and et cetera.
Why don't you go into a little bit more detail about that? So you think that perhaps there weren't holograms that fooled people in New York. Perhaps it was just a plane that flew close to the building.
I don't know about New York. In New York, the whole issue about the vehicles that were flying by, that seems compelling. I'm talking about I'm 99.9% as close as you can get percent sure that that the Pentagon was flyovers with internal explosives. That's just because it seems like all the dots connect to that. I was moving around and around on the Pentagon for a while. Anyone who's seen my post at 9/11 movement can know that I was going for missiles, Global Hawk. I didn't know what was going on there, and then I finally just put it together and said, "Hey, this flyover." And because, for example, one of the strange coincidences is that the part that was damaged was the only part that was being renovated, and a lot of people say, "Well, that's because it was nearly empty." I say that the reason that it's the renovated section that got damaged was because under the cover of renovation, there were explosives being planted, and I also think that through eyewitnesses, it's become pretty obvious that the plane was on the north side, which would make it impossible. And then there's some pretty good eyewitness accounts that suggest a pull up just before impact. So the dots all connect for me. I mean, I could always be wrong. But that's what seems. It seems like all the evidence is pointing towards that right now.
And isn't there evidence that the $2.3 trillion missing dollar paperwork were stored in that exact location too?
That's another thing, because I believe that there were people and information in that section of the Pentagon that they wanted to get rid of, and it related to the $2.3 trillion. And I think that by flying a projectile into the building, it's unpredictable, but bombs are more reliable in that case for destroying something or assassination.
So the five frames that we kept seeing a couple years ago, you think that was just photoshopped of a missile?
Yeah, that was totally fake. And even the explosion, you see it going on to the lawn, but the lawn should be damaged significantly with fire. Because the explosion's going on to the lawn, but now it's famous, the whole pentalon thing, how it's not damaged. So that video is a fake, and there were also a lot of things planted in it, because there were sites popping up, likely fake sites, that were saying that they could see signs of a global hawk in the video.
Mm-hmm.
So, the video was totally fake. And often one question I got when I was debating somebody on YouTube on this issue was, well, the eyewitnesses said they saw a fiery explosion. Why would a detonation cause a fiery explosion? Well, there was one eyewitness account that said something interesting. They said that tanks of airplane fuel were igniting and blowing up in front of the building at the same time. So I think that was probably triggered to get this fiery effect.
I see.
So it would look like kerosene, yeah.
On a little bit different topic, I showed my wife your latest post and what you emailed me about the
witnesses.
Exactly. And what she says, which was a good point, was, well, of course they're all military. They worked at the Pentagon. All the people there were military. They worked at the Pentagon. What would you tell her?
Well, I would so that they're generally not credible witnesses, because in the scenario of an inside job, the U.S. military high command would be involved in this, and because of these people being military, they're under military discipline. There's plenty of examples of people who are ordered and threatened under court-martial to do something insane, and then they do it because they've been trained repeatedly in this military to be obedient. That's one of the things that they train in the military. It's a known fact that they train them in obedience. So these military people are really not their own men. They are people who are under military discipline. And then you get to people who just aren't credible at all, like people who are directors of the Defense Intelligence Agency and stuff. I mean, in an inside job, you think they're going to tell the truth. So what I would say is that it's generally that these just aren't credible witnesses in the scenario of an inside job.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, especially the amount of USA Today reporters that saw it. And in fact, Citizens Investigation Team, I like them, but I'm not sure. I can be convinced that they're fake because they do say that planes hit the World Trade Center. I'm wondering if they just don't know because their Pentagon work seems to be bang on. But I'm concerned because they are what you call plane huggers. They're defensive about planes at the World Trade Center. They did a video called the USA Today Parade, and they showed how all of these USA Today people that witnessed the attack were all lined up on the road together. And guess what? They were within a quarter of a mile of each other, all late for work, all lined up on the road at the same time to all be able to see the attack.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you're saying that these 8 USA Today reporters claim to have seen the plane go into the building?
Yes, they and Mike Walter is the one to focus on because he just keeps contradicting himself. I mean, first he saw it go into the building, then he saw it go in and crumple up like an accordion, and now he's saying, "Well, I couldn't see the details. It was obscured from my view by trees." So. Yeah, he's a liar, what's just amazing to me is that all of them were late for work, all just in this neat little line right as the attack happened. And one of them, when they were being questioned by those guys, Aldo and Craig, they said that traffic was heavy that day on the road. So I'm wondering if there were actually people who drove up and were basically plants who were ordered to just drive up there and post witnesses, and that would explain why the traffic was heavy that day around there.
Mm. Well, let me play devil's advocate. Of course, I do believe everything that you're saying, but let me play devil's advocate. Some people have tried, when I posted this, they say, well, the USA Today's offices were right down the road from there.
Well, that's the thing. That's what Mike Walter said when he was addressing it, when he said, oh, a lot I've seen on the Internet people saying, were we having just a picnic at the Pentagon? Well, no, because that's where we all drive to work. But there are things to remember here. It was allegedly 9:37. Some clocks said it was 9:32. I personally think it was 9:32, but whatever, it was around 9:30, which would make them all late for work. And so what we need to believe, if we're going to believe that story, is that they were all driving in that quarter of a mile lineup of each other, all basically driving together in this little parade, all late for work at the same time, and they all just drove in that little parade right in front of the Pentagon just as the attack was going to happen. Three words, I don't buy it.
Right.
Well, that's the four words. It's just an endless amount of coincidences,
right,
at the Pentagon because you have these Navy Times and USA Today reporters going there, and then you have this person, that Donald Timmerman guy, who is on TV just getting news interviews all over the place, and he's actually related to Kenneth Timmerman, who's in with the media. So you just got so many plants at the Pentagon. Total fake witnesses.
Let me give out the phone number real quick again if someone wants to call in who's listening. By the way, anyone can call in. Anyone who disagrees with me, or I'm sure LT would be happy to take that too, just call in. The phone number is 724-444-7444. The number, by the way, is at the bottom of the interactive chat screen if you're online. The call ID you want to put in this particular case is 17245. You want to follow that by the pound sign. If you don't hit the pound sign, you'll just be on hold and wondering what happened. And then finally, you want to put in your PIN number. Again, that's found at the bottom of the interactive chat screen. Follow that by the pound sign, and you're in. Normally, I ask that you hit the request to talk button, but since no one's here, I'll just pump you right through. If in the future there are a bunch of people on the call, then just hit the request to chat button, or request to talk button, I'm sorry. Or you hit star 8 on your telephone when you call in, and that'll kind of set up a flag so I know that you're looking to call in. I don't recommend using anything but a regular plain old telephone because it's unreliable and choppy, especially voice over IP. If no one calls in, and unless you had some other things, do you have any other things? Because I got an interesting story to tell about the Amish and the Amish shooting. So before I get into that, did you want to talk about anything else, LT or Chad?
No, I'd like to hear more about
the Amish.
Go ahead, LT. Sorry, can't hear you well.
I'd be interested in hearing the Amish shooting because you probably can tell from the chat room discussions that we've had that I'm interested in these shooting off, and I know a little bit many of these, but I don't know about the Amish shooting. I haven't studied that. Well, please tell us more.
What about you, Chad? Do you have anything else before I go into the Amish shooting?
Nope. Go ahead, right into it.
Okay. Well, I was getting every Tuesday, right after I hit the mall, the Park City Mall, if you're in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, maybe we can meet up sometime. I swing on over with 5 empty milk jugs to one of the largest real milk producers on the East Coast. Unfortunately, real milk is sort of illegal. Anytime, my rule of thumb is anytime the government, which of course govern means control and ment is the mind in Latin, anytime the government tells us something is bad for us, it's probably good for us. I can tell a big difference in my son. He's been drinking real milk for now a year, and we belong to a private co-op because the government can't stop us from buying stuff if we're, you know, privately buying milk. Anyway, to make the long story short, which is already too late, I stopped in to talk to Leroy, who owns the co-op, the farm, and I said I had some new information about the Amish shooting. Now, in the past, I told him all the evidence I had that the Amish shooting was a definite op. It did not involve a milkman who just happened to shoot up, you know, 10 people. And I'm going to go through the evidence in a second. Well, anyway, I'm talking to Leroy, and I said, I just found out in talking to the guy who sharpens my lawnmower. I have one of those push mowers that the Amish sharpen my mower with. And I spoke to him, and then he told me that the Amish were forced, absolutely forced, to knock down, bulldoze down that school a day after the shooting. The very next day, they were forced to knock it down and were paid $300,000 to do it. So as I'm saying that, yeah, I was waiting for the wow. As I'm saying that, in comes a couple, an older couple in a BMW. Usually it's wealthy people who buy real milk, which is an interesting observation. And I, you know, anytime someone comes in, I told Leroy that I'd shut my trap. I don't want to scare away any customers. So I'm finishing up, and the couple goes, "What are you talking about?" Well, anytime someone says that, you know, I start talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him the same thing, and they both look at each other with a smile on their face. He goes, "You know the shooter? That was my son-in-law." I'm like, "No way!" So we had a very, very interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They, from the very beginning, could not believe that their innocent little son-in-law, who couldn't hurt a fly, would shoot them up and then kill themselves. So let me go over the evidence where I know what happened that day. And this is what I told them. What happened that day was absolutely impossible to happen. Does anyone remember what time, about what time it was, the Amish shooting? Anyone? LT, it sounds like you're into this stuff. Do you remember what time it was?
No, as I said, I haven't studied that one.
It was before 11 o'clock. Now, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've done everything. I've opened a non-alcoholic nightclub. I was in the printing business. I was in the publishing business. I was in the book business. I was in the sign-making business. I was in the postcard marketing business. I'm a graphic designer. I do Photoshop. So I'm like the jack of all trades, master of none. And this is important. I'll tell you why in a second. The shooting happened before 11 o'clock. SWAT teams were on the scene in minutes. Now, if you remember, I live in nowhere. I mean, it's nothing out here.
Yeah.
No SWAT teams are able to get here in 2 minutes, even if by fighter jet, impossible. The closest base is probably Harrisburg, maybe Philadelphia. Those are both like 60 to 90 minutes away. They were here in minutes by helicopter. Go ahead.
That's amazing because that's really a parallel with these other shooting ops because with Columbine, they remarked that there were actually federal agents who were positioned in the park just before it happened, and there were also NATO personnel that were just in the area at that time. So what it seems like you're saying right now, these SWAT teams were probably just parked minutes away on drills or something.
Exactly. Now I live. If you can imagine taking a Philadelphia suburb with a cul-de-sac, rows and rows of houses and townhouses, and lifting it up from the suburbs and planting it in the middle of a cornfield near the Amish, that's where I'm at. In that development are the entire police and fire department. We all live here. I mean, this is like if there was ever a fire in this development, it would go out so quickly because we're literally behind the fire station and everyone lives here. So I get to talk to these people, and I told them how I thought about it, and they all kind of looked at each other and had that coy look on their face. And I'm like, okay, did I just touch a nerve? What's going on? Talk to me. And the one guy said, the feds were here when it happened, which, of course, raises eyebrows. That's interesting you say that, LT. And for the first time in the history of the, I won't tell you that my town name, of the blank, fire and police, we were not allowed to be on the scene. Which is, they said, we've had much worse things happen here, and we're the first responders, and we go on the scene. Instead, there was a 5-mile radius cordoned off area.
Wow.
Hold on, I'm looking at some. My son just wrote me a note. Can we? The car tomorrow. What does that mean, the car tomorrow? I apologize. This will take 1 minute.
Okay.
Right. Oh, you mean to the bus stop?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Deal? You going to bed soon? Okay. I'll see if I can swing it. You got it. We'll see. We'll have to see how you do. Good night. Okay, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow morning. Adios. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. That's what happens when you're Mr. Mom. So, 5-mile radius. 5-mile radius. But wait, there's more. I drop off the one you just heard. I drop off, he was in kindergarten. He's in second grade now. I dropped him off, I pick him up from the bus stop every day at 3:33. There were newspapers. I don't buy propaganda, so I don't have a newspaper, but there were newspapers in every other driveway that, you know, in big, bold letters, had the entire story, the name of the guy, his picture, his relatives, every detail you can imagine, sitting in the driveway at the maximum 3:33. Now, LT, what does that tell you? Shooting happened around 11. Full story printed in, delivered. Now, it was delivered from Lancaster City. I'm about 35, 40 minutes away from that. So even if it got there at 3, a minute before I got outside, to pick up my son, if you minus 40 minutes just for the delivery time, now we're talking, what, is that, you know, a little bit before 3 o'clock? So that would be less than 4 hours to do editing, getting the name, getting his picture, interviews, cropping the picture. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, it's basically like they had the whole story already ready to go.
Exactly.
Just before it happened.
And the reason I mentioned that all the businesses that I've been in is I was in the publishing business. It is impossible, even with electronic presses, to print the newspaper in 4 hours. Forget about writing it, editing it, all that. You cannot do it in 4 hours.
Yeah, that's like something I've heard. I haven't confirmed it for myself. With the Kennedy assassination, I've heard that foreign newspapers had Oswald's picture and name and picture up before they had even properly questioned him and before anyone even knew the name. And foreign newspapers were reporting it.
Exactly. And funny you should mention that, because when I told the story to the owner of the only real pizza place in town, she dropped her jaw. She goes, "Oh, my God, I was in Chicago that day, and it was printed on the streets in the newspapers that afternoon."
Amazing. And you're all the way in Lancaster, and they were getting it in Chicago just hours after it happened. That's a perfect example of how the mainstream media always doesn't just, it never just plays a whitewashing job. It's directly involved, because you can tell from there that they had already had the news stories ready to go, ready to be on print.
That's right. Now, I asked, as you can imagine, I'm telling this evidence to, you know, this couple, and their jaws are dropped. And the man is scratching his chin. That's a that's called an interest signal in marketing. If you're selling something to someone and they scratch their chin, stop talking, give them the contract, and they will sign. That means I'm ready to buy. And he was buying everything I was saying. So then he goes, "You know, it's funny you say that. We found out about this over the radio. We were at the doctor's office. We heard these helicopters going overhead. And the doctor said, that's weird. And he heard helicopter after helicopter coming. And the doctor said, that's really weird. That's never happened before. They turned on the radio to see what was going on. And they mentioned that this, you know, this guy's son-in-law's brother, he's actually the son-in-law's brother. It wasn't the son-in-law. And who did the killing. And then the doctor started to freak out, hearing that was the Amish shooting, because this doctor is a natural doctor, and all of his customers, all of his clients, are Amish. So he's like, "Oh my God, I probably know these people." What piqued their interest, this couple's interest, was that at around 2 o'clock, I asked them what time they thought they heard this radio report. They thought it was around 2 o'clock, so about 3 hours after, they named the shooter by name and that he was a milk truck driver and all that kind of stuff. When they got home, they were getting the phone off the hook. Calls from England. I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." I said, "England?" They said, "Yeah." They're like, how does news agencies in England know about my phone number?" I said, "That's very simple. Over 60% of the news is created by one company, and that would be the Club of Rome, which has ties to the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which sister branch here in the States is the Council on Foreign Relations, who controls both the Associated Press and Reuters. So that's why they were calling from England. That's where they're based. The other thing is they were not told when the funeral was, under the guise of there's so much publicity, we don't want the public being at the funeral. They didn't even go to the funeral. I said, "Did you see his body?" They wouldn't let us see his body. They weren't the first ones who said that. I spoke to the guy who sharpens my mower, and the same thing was said too. We weren't allowed to see our niece's body.
Amazing. Well, what do you think that would indicate? That
maybe they weren't dead? I don't know. I don't know. I don't like guessing. I like sticking with facts. I don't know.
I mean, with the them not seeing the body,
or not told about the funeral. They didn't even know when the funeral was. Can you imagine not knowing when your son-in-law's brother's funeral is?
I know. They usually send out a message for that kind of stuff that reaches you not too long after, like just the day after it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You should get some kind of a notice or something.
No, they were told by whoever. I didn't hear who. I should have asked that. Who told them that for the sake of privacy, we're not letting anyone know when the funeral is.
So who was at the funeral?
I'm sorry, who what?
So who was at the funeral?
That's a good question, isn't it? Yep. So it never ends. Now, I mean, by the way, the same op, same circumstances, the door was chained, you know, just like Virginia Tech, just like Columbine, right? Now, if you've ever seen an Amish schoolhouse, they don't chain a door. It's just a single little, you know, just like on your home door, you just turn it and it opens. So how do you chain something that you just turn it and it opens? It's not like a public school where they have one of them fire, you know, it only is one way in and you can't get back in type of thing.
No, it's just it's the chaining of the doors. I think that's just a script line now. It's as much of a script line as how they always shoot themselves, quote-unquote, in the head afterwards. And now chaining the doors, it's just like a script that just seems to be a detail that's consistent with all of the cops.
That's right. So they don't even need to change the story because we're so mind-numbed. It doesn't matter.
Thing. I mean, because we've been hearing all these other ops, where they chain the doors, immediately when we think of mass shooting, and as soon as we hear doors chained, we're just thinking, well, okay, there's nothing suspicious about that because that's been the case in all these other shootings.
Right. So for me, I mean, if I had to think of the smoking gun evidence, it's the newspaper. The newspaper sitting on my neighbor's driveway at 3:33 in the afternoon.
Did the guy have any military ties?
The milkman? I asked that, and he said no. I asked if he was on Prozac. They said they didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, the other weird thing is the wife, which was their daughter, still won't talk about it. It's still too... She keeps saying to them, which they find strange by now, it's been over 2 years, it's still too difficult to talk about.
Do we have the name of the guy? Because we could check the FBI.
Oh, I'm sure you could. Yeah, I mean, I can find that right now. Because he's a milk truck driver, so I'll just type in Amish shooting milk truck driver. CNN News, BBC News. Charles. Oh, and by the way, you ever notice that when there's a mass murder, they always use three names? Charles Carl Roberts. Now, why is that? Why would they have to say someone's middle name when it comes to a shooting?
I know, that is strange. Lee Harvey Oswald, Sun Lee Cho, they always use all three names. James Earl Ray, Mark David Chapman, you always see the middle name class.
It's almost like it's a code. It's like, for those in the know, this is, you know, this is BS.
Yeah.
I'm looking up him in the SSDI right now. Middle initial C, and let's give it a shot. Okay. Well, there's, that's probably a popular, actually there are three listings. So it would be in Pennsylvania that he was. I see no listings for Pennsylvania. Wouldn't that be interesting if he's not in there, huh?
Of course.
And let me try this. Pennsylvania, nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing. One more page. Nothing. So he's not in there.
Another one.
For those who are new to this, what we do is the most meticulously understand the most meticulously maintained government database is the SSDI, stands for Social Security Death Index. It was 100% accurate for my deceased relatives. What you do is you put in their names, and it'll tell you their name, the birth date, their death date, the last residence, the last benefit, their Social Security number, which state it was issued in. I mean, it gives a lot of information. And what we find is on 9/11, although that has changed about 2 weeks ago, that when you put in a lot of the 9/11 victims, especially when you put in the passenger names on the planes, the supposed planes, there are very few matches. If there are matches, they're never for September 11th. They're either 10 years beforehand or a couple of years after.
And they're never in the right places.
You mean for residence-wise?
Yeah, residence-wise. And it's interesting, with Flight 93, it was especially amazing there. Out of 40-something, there were only 9 passengers in there.
Alex, you're back. What'd you think?
It sounds pretty textbook, like, just like you said about, like, all the other shootings. It sounds like something that has been done for a long time.
Yep. The question is, why do they do it? Is it because they want to scare us? Is it to get rid of guns, which doesn't matter if we get rid of guns anyway, because they have weapons that can pretty much evaporate us, I understand.
Oh, no, it's not to get rid of guns. They like people being whirled up into this big defend the Second Amendment,
right.
Amendment thing, because, yeah, they want people all saying, oh, we've got our guns, we can defend against the tyranny, because of course they've got microwave guns, they've got directed energy, they've got tasers, they have the military is 15 to 20 years again ahead of normal science, so you can't beat them with a rifle, and so that's obviously not, they obviously don't really care about getting rid of people's ability to have guns. I think it's more to do with making schools and institutions, universities, colleges, to condition it to become more of the kind of thing you have in an airport,
right?
With all X-rays
and the turnstiles and the cameras.
Yeah, just to condition everybody to that kind of environment from a young age.
But why would they hit an Amish school?
Well, that is strange. It could be to try to put in some kind of fear psyop, like no one is safe, it can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them emphasizing that before.
Mm-hmm.
An Amish shooting really does emphasize the idea that it can happen anywhere.
By the way, someone asked. Go ahead, Alex.
Another thing that was like it could happen anywhere was if you heard about that beheading on the Greyhound bus in Canada.
That
summer.
Was total BS. Wasn't that total BS?
That was total MK Ultra. They were even saying he was acting
the
like
the guy looked like a robot.
But do you think it actually happened? I mean, how do we know it happened? Because the media told us?
I haven't looked into that too closely. I read a few articles about it. It probably happened. There were a lot of people on the bus, but it would be interesting to call up some of these people who were on the bus and just ask them what they saw, get it all confirmed. I do know that the only witness, the one that was largely was mentioned in all the mainstream media articles, was former quote unquote military.
Oh boy, what a coincidence. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, they don't even need to fire a shot. They don't even need to send a grain of anthrax. All they have to do is just put it in the media. And it's a done deal, and everyone's scared.
Yeah,
how do we know the anthrax attacks were real?
I mean, the two guys that you never hear about, the ones they say actually were killed. The ones you hear most about are Tom Daschle and Patrick Lee. And it's interesting, and they both survived by lucky coincidences about it being sent to the wrong place or them not being in the office that day. And both of them, it's interesting, were Jesuit trained.
Unbelievable. We lost Alex. I'm going to bring him back on again. Are you there, Alex?
Well, you have to unmute him.
Yep, I did. Are you there, Alex? Oh, here we go. Let me unmute again. You there?
Hello,
Alex.
Hey.
All right, there he is.
Are you there? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Alex. You there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, great. Well, it's I wanted to tuck my son into bed, so let's kind of wrap this up. Is there anything final things you want to talk about, or questions, or comments, or new posts that you've put up, or things that you're looking forward to next week? Or
I recently just figured it out. I just discovered all this that not only were his two sons, but his daughter also. Three of McCain's children, two of his sons and his only daughter, were all trained at Jesuit preparatory schools, even though the family's not even supposed to be Roman Catholic.
Oh, what are they, Protestant or something?
I forget what Southern Baptist.
Uh-huh.
And his sons were trained at Brophy Preparatory School, the president of which, a Jesuit priest, gave McCain an opening speech at the Republican National Convention,
right?
And his daughter was trained at Xavier School, which is another Jesuit school. Xavier being one of the co-founding members of the Jesuit order.
Uh huh. For those listening who are new to this Jesuit talk, I didn't know about Jesuits even a year ago, and it's interesting. I went to Westchester University, and in my graduating class, I think there was 14,000 people. At the biggest Jesuit college within the United States, which is Georgetown, they too had 14,000 something graduate students, or people graduating, I should say. And yeah, I'll be right there. And the most famous person who ever graduated from my college at Westchester was Kurt Weldon, who's a Congress critter. And yeah, I'll be there. I'll be right there. But at Georgetown, if you look at the alumni list of Georgetown, it's literally an endless parade of criminals, also known as entertainers, politicians, business people, and the list goes on. And what we're finding is, well, let me backtrack. There are probably millions of people who've graduated from college who are not Jesuit.
Yeah.
Yet you never hear their affiliations connected to these very well-connected people. They're almost exclusively Jesuit.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct, LT?
Yes, it's well, when you see all of these top politicians, you find so many. It's the surprising amount that were trained at Jesuit colleges, and because Jesuit with the preparatory schools, I just recently found out. I was just looking at the alumni lists of the universities and colleges, but there's also just a ton of preparatory schools in the United States that are Jesuit, and they just, it's an endless list, list. You have, for example, Bill Clinton, Joseph Stalin, George Tenet, McCain's children, Fidel Castro and his brother Raul, and rude lovers of the banking. You have the David Petraeus, the former commander in Iraq, George W. Casey, the chief of staff for the U.S. Army, Peter Pace, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs. It just is an endless list of all these names. And there was even a person called Philip Junkers who has a post just called Jesuit Trained Movers and Shakers.
Yep.
And he just names post after post of all these
herbs. Oh, it's just endless. Speaking, by the way, of Joseph Stalin, I've said this many times before as I try to bring Alex back on. He keeps getting disconnected. Joseph Stalin reportedly is the grandfather of current Senator Christopher Dodd.
Christopher Dodd, he was also just trained. So.
Right. And it's pretty funny because there's a record of him in the well of the, you know, Congress saying how bad a person Joseph Stalin is. Isn't that funny that you're calling your grandfather a bad person?
Yeah, you told me about that on our Jesuit call, and yeah, I looked that up, and it's amazing.
Oh, wait a minute, you're saying that I'm telling the truth? Oh, my God, if you were to look at all the posts, I'm a liar, and I'm glad you looked that up.
Yeah, I looked that up, if people are calling you a liar, it's basically because they don't have the patience or time to even just Google what you're saying.
Well, I think it's a little bit more nefarious than that. It's just that they're using the Delphi technique. You should look that up to marginalize the truth of what's being said. You just tell someone, you know, if enough people say that Mark Allen is a liar, then people believe it.
Well, that's true because then if you see enough people saying that you're COINTELPRO or whatever, then eventually people say, well, if so many people are saying it, then
it must be true.
Must be true, yeah, and that's the same thing they do with TV fakery.
That's right. Well, unless anyone has some quick things to do, I want to go say goodnight to my son. Any quick comments, questions?
Nope, I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate the you opening up this call. And
well, anytime. We try to do this at least once a week, and Thursdays seem like a good time. Mondays are good for me, and anytime you want to do it, let's do it. And like I said, the invitation is open to anyone who wants to call in, whether you like it or you hate it. Give a call, and as long as it's respectful, then you can talk as long as you want and ask questions. With that said, I'm going to repeat the website address where you're going to be able to find this once TalkShoe processes this and does the replay. It's at truthin7minutes. That's the number 7minutes.com. Once again, that's truthin7minutes.com. If you go to truthin7minutes.com/chat, that'll bring you over to our chat site where all the people who I'm talking to tonight regularly go. Usually the chat is pretty active after 7 o'clock. I've seen it go all hours of the night. I do find that there seems to be two audiences. The early crowd seem to be much more focused on real truth. The late crowd seems to want to come in and cause trouble. So if you're looking for real truth, I suggest coming early. Don't fret if you come at 4 o'clock and there's no one in the chat. That's usually because most people are working or a little bit busy. Like I said, I'd recommend coming around maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock Eastern time.
A lot of times I'm in there and I kind of see people come in there, but because I've always got a lot of tabs open and I'm looking at stuff then I just come back and see that somebody was saying hi about 10 minutes ago. So I'm basically, when I have the time, like on weekends, I'm always logged into the chat.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I'm just not there because I have a tab.
Right. So, I mean, if you go there and it's empty, don't fret. It's only because it's empty for that moment. I would come back maybe an hour later. This site has only been open since September 11th, 2008, so it's a little over 5 weeks or so. I suspect 5 months from now there's going to be so many people chatting that we're literally going to need to have more capacity, more chat rooms, that sort of thing. So if you get there, like I said, and no one's there, just say hi. If no one responds, then just log back in later at night, and I'm sure you're going to find lots of people who you can trade ideas with. This is the first, I'm proud to say, the first website where real people are talking about real things, and we do our best to keep those who are trying to cause trouble at bay. I'll just leave it at that. So I really appreciate it. It's 10:36 Thursday, October 30th, the day before the pagan holiday of Halloween, and I really appreciate you guys calling, and I wish you a great night. Thank you.